Go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 as you're turning there. Just want to mention that somebody does have a birthday. Noah Brown, come on up here, sir. Thought you could skate by us. Not going to happen. All right. Noel, of course, is turning, what is it, 13, 14? 18, yes. The big 1-8. All right. Yeah, you better not. Yeah. All right, hey guys, let's sing a hearty happy birthday to Noel. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Woo! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Noel. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Good. Wonderfully I wouldn't say wonderfully done, but it was done anyway. Hey, how many of you got to experience it was a Corn Week miracle. On the bus coming back, how many of you got to experience the singing full bore? You know, I just want to say this. Listen, I'm going to pay you a remark. I don't know if it's a compliment, but let me just say this. Oh, Holy Night, I don't know if I ever want to hear that song again. Your rendition definitely had something to do with that. Okay, but it was very good. Who started that, by the way? Who was that? Okay, all right. Must have been a soprano, because that was in the galaxy. I mean, it was... Okay. All right, you're in Matthew chapter 7. Obviously, we do some special things. This is just kind of a—I don't know if you want to call it a youth group tradition. You maybe have family traditions that you don't really understand. Well, those of you who have been here for at least the past few years—I think this is the fourth year we've celebrated Corn Week now—and you never know what you're going to see during Corn Week. Like I said, some unusual singing on visitation. Brother Chase, sporting a Corn Week outfit back there, looking rather sharp there. I've got my Corn Week tie on. Okay, I'm participating. Maybe next year we need to all say, hey, wear yellow for our Teen Time visitation. That'd be kind of a cool. Does anybody have a corn costume? Maybe. Okay, that's strange. All right, well, just in a little bit here, after my challenge, we'll get to enjoy some food. If you're like me, I can always enjoy food. I'm probably always hungry. But we'll have some snacks back there afterwards. But let's take a little bit of time and narrow our focus here together as we gather around some Bible truths and really some truths that I've been excited about to communicate, some important truths. And really some life-changing truths. So let's gather around God's Word. Let's notice with me, start reading now in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. And we'll notice a few things about these verses. Look at, first of all, verse 24, Matthew 7. It says here, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." Verse 27, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." I want to challenge you on a particular thought tonight, and this particular thought message I've entitled here, "The Joke's on You." The joke's on you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for this time that we have together. Lord, we've had quite a bit of fun, but Lord, now as we, gather together around Your Word, I pray that You would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that You would quiet our hearts. Lord, I thank You for the way that You've ministered to us already. Lord, help us to give thanks, Lord, and understand that You are all-powerful and can meet any need. as Nina testified tonight. Lord, I pray that we would remember how loving you are. Lord, your love towards us and for us is unconditional. Lord, you love us even with all of our shortcomings and, Lord, with all of our struggles. We're thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see your word and Bible truth clearly tonight. Your Holy Spirit would open our understanding and we'd be willing, Lord, to adjust, Lord, any action, any thought, Lord, any type of worldly thought processes. Lord, we'd be able to adjust that in our lives so that you can receive glory and that we can better live for you. Lord, help us during this time. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Have you ever had a practical joke or a prank that came around to stab you in the back? Something went completely wrong. It was a great idea maybe, but maybe it didn't quite work out how you wanted it to. I can think about some of the people sitting in here in some situations that I know have happened to you and where that would be the case. The best thing is when those things actually work out, but many times they do not. I remember when I was in high school, and I've probably mentioned this somewhere along the lines before, but my friends and I, we got into this friendly battle, I would say, of just kind of minorly TPing each other's houses. And there was about four of us that came up with the idea, hey, let's get together and let's go over to this person's house and, you know, throw some rolls of toilet paper over their car and maybe they have some bushes in the front, you know, throw a toilet paper roll or two around that. So we were doing this and we were kind of doing it to each other on a minor scale. Everything was going great until we TP'd somebody and their brother got upset. Older brother got upset. So we were having a great time with that, and we had heard through the grapevine that this brother was really upset and he was going to pay us back and what have you, and so it was quiet for a while. I want to say it was maybe even Halloween night one particular year. I was working late. I closed the store, and as I was on my way home, it was probably somewhere between 11:30 and midnight, and I was going through my neighborhood, and I remember thinking, for whatever reason, I thought to myself, wow, you know, tonight would be a great night to roll someone's house. And right as I rounded the corner and saw my house, it was virtually unrecognizable. When I say that they kicked it up a notch, they kicked it up a notch or two or three. There were probably 100 rolls of toilet paper, okay, that were strung all through our trees, across our car. There was hardly a bare spot on the lawn. I mean, it was everywhere. And I drove up and I could not believe it. I walked into my house and I'm trying to think, okay, who did this? I quickly figured it out. And then right about that time, I heard a knock on the door. It was a police officer letting me know that our house had just been teepeed. I said, well, thank you very much, sir. And he said, you're going to clean it up? And I said, well, I guess so. Right about that time, my dad woke up and he came out, had a few choice words for me, and pretty much made it known that I needed to clean it up quickly. That was a process that went on for a couple of weeks because the toilet paper got wet. It stuck to the bark of trees. It was terrible. That was a joke that turned around. The joke was really on me. It came back to stab me in the back. Jesus is describing a situation here that is very similar. In fact, he mentions two individuals that live very different lives, one being the foolish man and the wise man. And both of them experienced lives where their daily decisions determined the outcome later in life. We see here Jesus has just given about 115 verses of information to the crowd that he's preaching to there on the mountainside. And many people believe that this would have been on a mountainside or taken place on a mountainside where you would have valleys and then the mountain. And then most people believe that he was preaching towards people who were further up on the mountain than him to sort of create like an amphitheater where his voice would carry. And he's giving them spiritual truth. You say, well, what type of information? And really, he's telling them what the Christian life is all about. Some great passages of Scripture. If you say, hey, what does it mean to live the Christian life? I encourage you to take Jesus' words, go back two chapters and follow it through and notice what he says about it. But he ends all of those principles, everything that he has been saying, and he ends it with a very picturesque illustration of two people who are building houses. And I want us to notice here what the Bible says in the 26th verse and focus in on a couple of things about this individual. It says that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. I want to notice three principles very quickly about this foolish individual. Notice number one, what do we know about this foolish man? Well, we know very quickly that he was unwilling, had an unwillingness to grow up. Basically, by the very use of this term of fool that Jesus uses, automatically we know what type of person we're dealing with. The Greek word in the New Testament is connected with our word of moron. So it gives you the type of person we're talking about here. It's not somebody that has a lack of knowledge and doesn't know anything. Okay, this person has ability. This person even has some knowledge. But a foolish individual is someone who does not use that knowledge correctly. They are foolish, we could say. And this individual was unwilling to use or unwilling to grow up. We could say that. It is normal for children to act foolish. I have two very young boys. They're getting older every day. But there are certain expectations that we did not have when they were born. I mean, can you imagine maybe the first time that you ever saw Emma, the Lund's new baby? Can you imagine if the first time you saw her, she was sitting up knitting a pair of socks for Peter? I mean, that would be, I don't know why she would be knitting, but maybe she would be. But can you imagine? No, we have certain expectations when it comes to children. Okay, we understand there that there's a level that has to be grown into, okay? When I was young, I did some pretty dumb things. I'm sure you did and do as well, okay? I remember when I was, this was probably when I don't want to even put an age on it, but I remember grabbing the towel rack and thinking I was going to do a few pull-ups, okay? You already know where this was going. I got about halfway through my first one, and landed in a heap with the bar in my hands and two holes in the wall. It was not a good thing. And when my dad asked me, hey, what's the question? Why did you do this? Okay, how many of you have heard that question before? What do you think I said?
I have no idea.
I said this. Shh. Somebody just said it. I don't know. Okay, you know, I was displaying my ignorance. I was displaying an area of my life where I did not think before I acted. And that is really the definition of a foolish individual. They don't put thought processes to the things that they do or the decisions that they make or even the things that they say. A foolish individual. And it's normal for children to act foolish. In fact, Proverbs says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it from him. You and I have foolishness in all of our hearts. We're born with that. It is part of our humanity. But at the same hand, just as we understand that there's foolishness in the heart of a child, we have to also understand that it is a rare thing, and it ought to be a rare thing for a Christian to remain that way. Okay, when you and I accept Christ as our Savior, and we begin following His plan for our lives, we begin following the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus said, then we understand that there needs to be thought processes that take place, and there needs to be principles backing the decisions that we make, and that we don't operate simply just spur the moment or don't think about the things that we do. It's normal for children to act foolish. It's abnormal for Christians to remain that way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Foolish man here is, we know, unwilling to grow up, to be mature, to think before he acts, to live his life in a way that is connected to principle. Can I ask you today, what is your attitude in regards to foolishness? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, take your life, for instance, and say, hey, is there an area in my life that I tend to not think before I act? I tend to maybe just follow my friends into it. Or I tend to just let my desires dictate what I'm going to do in this moment. Foolish man is someone who has an unwillingness to grow up. Sometimes we can have areas of our lives that are the very same way. What is your attitude towards foolishness? Can you define it in your life? Proverbs 24 and verse 9 says that even the thought of foolishness is sin. But the direct contrast of the foolish man is the wise man. And the wise man, in his thinking, is focused on the fact that foolish behavior needs to be corrected. So we understand that the challenges for a foolish man is the fact that he has an unwillingness to grow up. Notice, second of all, though, that he busies himself with counterproductive activity. Look at verse 26. And I find this is really interesting. Number one, Jesus says and uses this term that this is a foolish man that we're dealing with. But notice the next word here. This is an action word. He says, which built his house. Okay, sometimes we have the idea of that a foolish person is somebody that's just strictly lazy, doesn't do anything. Okay, that can be the case, but that's not necessarily the case here. This foolish individual is doing something that's good. What is he doing? He's building a house. How many of you think it's easy to build a house? It's not, okay? It takes a long time to build a house, even in today's society. But go ahead, take away power tools, okay? Go ahead, take away heavy machinery, all right? And how long do you think it would take to build a house? Okay, take away maybe a work crew, okay? It very likely this took years for an individual to be able to do. You say, what's your point? Well, I'm simply saying this, is that this man, although he is foolish, he's wrapped up in something that is good, but it's really counterproductive because of some of the other choices that he's made. You know, the Bible says that a foolish man is caught up in his own folly. He's caught up in his own activity. You and I can be foolish individuals, even though we may be busy doing things that are counterproductive or that would be considered foolish. He's busied himself with the wrong things. Building a house is hard work, but for this individual, it's counterproductive. Notice, second of all, though, in regards to that, not only do we see that this individual is not necessarily being lazy, but we also understand that a foolish individual are not always unintelligent. You know, sometimes some of the smartest people make very foolish decisions. You know, strictly by definition's sake, Psalm 14 says that he that has said in his heart there is no God is a fool. You know, some of the very intelligent minds, scientists, you know, have added to their knowledge in this area, but in maybe another area they would say, hey, God, you can't know God. He doesn't exist. They're foolish maybe in that area of their life. And so there could be people in this very room, maybe God has gifted you with a great mind. Academically, you are on point. But really, in relation to your spiritual life and decisions that you make, you're foolish. Your decisions are not rooted in principle. They're rooted in the way that you feel that day, or maybe what your friends are doing. And you find that you fall and run headlong into foolish type of behavior. This foolish man had an unwillingness to grow up, but he also busied himself with counterproductive activity. This is, of course, in contrast to the wise man, who understands that you have to correct yourself when foolishness enters your life. And a wise man has the thinking capacity that states that you ought to be a responsible person that busies himself with productive activity. Notice the third thing in closing, and that is this foolish man made decisions that were not grounded. Verse 26, the end part here, foolish man, which built his house upon what? You know, I noticed a couple of things about his choices here. Number one, and this one never struck me before, The Bible says the rain came, and the flood came, and the wind came. You know the location that he, not just the sand rock issue, but the location that he specifically chose to build his house was faulty. Now, when you're going to build your house, you have to be concerned with, okay, how's the runoff coming? Jesus is standing on the side of a mountain, okay? This was an image that he's painting in the people's mind. And so perhaps maybe he even pointed to more of a lower portion where he's directing their attention to a foolish man who might try to build upon sand in a particular location. But it says specifically that the floods came. You know, you have to be careful when you build a home, not just about the rain that's going to come down, but also about where the rain is going to gather. This foolish man made a decision about his location that hindered him. Then, of course, you have the sand issue. He looks at a patch of sand and he says, hey, this is going to be the appropriate foundation for my home. And he begins building. And you know what the amazing thing about it is? That for some time, his house stood. For some time, that construction lasted. And I think that's the one point that you and I need to latch on to. You know, there are foolish people who live their lives so that for a while do okay. They may make a good decision here or a foolish decision there, but ultimately they're cruising along in life, and it doesn't seem like, you know, even though they're living according to their own principles, it doesn't seem like it's costing them too much. And just like the foolish man, there was a day that would eventually come in which the winds of life would blow against the foundation that he had years before poured to the point where his house begins to settle in. Notice the destruction that happens of what the Bible says. Notice what he says in verse 27. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The results of these choices eventually caught up with him. You know, I have some friends that made some foolish decisions in high school and have repeated them even at this point in their lives. And it becomes a life process. It becomes a life cycle. And Jesus' words to us is that those thought processes outside of living for the Lord will eventually catch up with you, and great will be the fall of it. I ask you, is there an area of your life that foolishness has crept in? You know what the right thing is. You have a knowledge of what you should do, but you don't let that affect how you live your life. You know, if we had someone come up here tonight, you know, let's say I ask Ethan to come up here, okay? Ethan came up here, and I started talking with Ethan, and Ethan couldn't say any words. He's just giving it back to me in goo goo gaga words, okay? And I say, all right, Ethan, okay, I noticed that your speech hasn't quite come along yet. All right, let's test your motor skills here, okay? And I give him a ball, okay? And I say, all right, Ethan, I want you to roll the ball to me. Okay, and Ethan goes to roll the ball, and he misses the ball. He tries again, he misses the ball. And then he looks up at me, he says, goo goo. Okay, that would be a strange thing. Ethan, would that be a strange thing? Yes, it would be, okay? All right, but listen, don't miss it. Listen, that is no different than a Christian who knows what the right thing to do is, but they are living in foolishness. Okay? Do you find yourself caught up in a particular area of foolishness? You know, sometimes I hear conversations that take place that, frankly, they're foolish conversations. You know, sometimes I see things that are done, and they're done in a foolish manner. You say, who's susceptible to this? You know, adults are susceptible to this as well. You know what? I would much rather you and I be on the lookout to correct areas of our lives that would fall into that category of foolish than I would get to a point like this foolish man where the joke's on him. For years he sowed, and he reaped destruction. Great was the fall of it. I look at this wise man, and I wonder if Jesus had a wise man in mind. I wonder if there was somebody specifically when he mentioned a wise man that came to his mind. Somebody who he knew was going to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Christ. Will you be that person tonight? Will you live the Christian life to its fullest? Live your life based on principle and not foolish behavior? I hope that you will. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. I wonder if the Lord has used a simple illustration out of the book of Matthew to draw your attention to an area of your life where there's a little bit of foolishness going on. Maybe at one time you really tried to have some growth in that area. You tried to have a little bit of maturity in regards to that because you know that it's the right thing to do. But maybe you've dropped off. Maybe the Holy Spirit's put his finger on an area that's you'd have to admit you're a little bit foolish in. Maybe it's in relation to how you spend your time. You know, a foolish person will not be concerned with their responsibilities. You know what the right thing is to do. You know you need to do your homework. You know you need to be studying. You know you need to handle your responsibilities, your chores at home. You know you need to be respectful, but it just doesn't happen. And maybe you've slacked off in a certain area tonight. Can I encourage you? Just allow your heart to be corrected by the Lord and give that, whatever it is, to Him. That's one of the greatest things that you can do. Don't fall prey to foolish decisions and your own devices as the foolish man. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we have our invitation, I pray, Father, that you, Lord, would use this, Father, not to make a show, but Lord, to draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray that, Father, there would be no one in this room tonight, Father, that would withhold doing business with you, Lord, because of pride in their heart. Lord, we all can be prideful. I pray, God, that we'd humble ourselves tonight, understanding, Lord, that we have things that we need to work on, and this is the place to work on them. Lord, help us to be mature and wise. Lord, we pray that you would receive the glory during this invitation time. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, God's worked in your heart. You make an altar down here. Get on your knees. Talk to the Lord about something. Okay? No one's going to judge you for coming forward, or everybody's got their eyes closed and their head bowed. You just do business with God. Lord wants us to be built up in Him. Every one of us is building a house, as it were. We're building our lives with something, building your life with things that matter. It's the materials that you're pouring, the foundation of your life, will it last? Will you allow your life to be built by Christ-like principles? All right, everybody look this way. Just want to let you know that if you need help with anything, if you have any questions in regards to things that I've talked about or anything at all that we can pray with you about or help you with, we would love to do that. We, myself, and the youth workers are here for you, and we want to be of help to you any way that we can.